We started last week in a new sermon series, and I'll explain it again for those of you that weren't here. You see the sermon series named Love Handles, and you think, well, what are you trying to handle love? What are we doing? No, remember, when we get so comfortable in love of any kind, whether it be in a marriage relationship or a dating relationship or a friend relationship, any kind of relationship we find ourselves in, we get comfortable. And when we get comfortable in a marriage relationship especially, you get these things called love handles. And it shows that you've gotten a little fat on love, right? You've gotten a little comfortable on love. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to get comfortable in love. We don't want to get comfortable, especially in our marriages, but not only in our marriages, but in our friendships and in everything that we find ourselves in. We don't want to get comfortable. We don't want to get comfortable in love. And so that's what we're hoping to do, is to challenge ourselves over these next few weeks in the way that we view love. And today we want to look at the idea of having the right priorities whenever we love. The right priorities. And we're going to look at a triangle of people, a love triangle, if you want to call it that, of Jacob and Leah and Rachel. And I want to explain a little bit. I want to bring this up context-wise so you kind of are up to speed where we're at if you're not familiar with the story of Jacob especially, and then how he came to know Leah and Rachel. But Jacob was the son in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, of Isaac. Isaac and his wife had two sons. They were twins, and Esau was the oldest. He came out first, but it said that Jacob had a hold of Esau's foot on the way out. So he was always fighting from day one, and they were always fighting from day one. Fast forward quite a few years, Jacob was still plotting against his brother and stole the blessing and the birthright from his older brother through a bowl of soup and some skin of hair over him to trick his dad, who couldn't see, so that when Isaac gave his final blessing before he died, he gave the blessing and the birthright to Jacob. He stole it, and of course Esau was mad as the firstborn, but Jacob said, I can't take it back, I'm sorry. So Esau's mad, chases after Jacob. Jacob runs, and Jacob ends up, listen, go back in Genesis and read the rest of it. It's a wild story. That's not even the Reader's Digest version. That's even worse than that. That's the Reader's Digest of the Reader's Digest version. Some of you don't even know what the Reader's Digest version is, because that's kind of an old statement. But it shortens things up. Should I just said that? That'd have been better, wouldn't it? It's the Twitter version. Is that applicable today? Twitter is unlimited characters now. There are more characters, so it's not even as much. Anyway, Jacob runs. He ends up in the land of his uncle, Laban. He ends up in the land of Laban. And he ends up first at a well, and he's going to stop, try to get some water. He sees shepherds around, and these shepherds were like, oh, we can't lift the top off this well until a certain time. Because we have to wait till everybody's here. Well, he sees this shepherdess, this lady, come up with a herd of sheep, and he falls in love with her. Finds out it's his cousin, Rachel, but he falls in love with her. He thinks she's beautiful, and she wants this rock moved off the top of this well. And so Jacob, being the manly man that he is, and head over heels for this woman that he just met, pulls the top off of it. She's allowed to do that. Well, she takes Jacob back. He meets Laban, his uncle, on his mom's side. And that's where we pick up the story today. Now, what Jacob never had, you have to know this for context too. What Jacob never really had, Jacob, and there's nothing wrong with this, but I'm going to use this terminology. Jacob was kind of a mama's boy. He kind of was. He didn't really have a good relationship with his dad. He didn't really feel like, I don't think he had the love of his dad. He never felt like he measured up to his dad. He was more like his mother. He enjoyed cooking. He enjoyed being around her. He didn't enjoy so much being outdoors and killing things for food and hunting and doing all that like his dad and Esau did. So he may have felt like he didn't measure up in his dad's eyes. And I think Jacob thought, and I'm saying this because you see this in his life in Scripture. I think Jacob thought, well, if I just had that, and I think for him that was a relationship or the kind of love he thought he needed or the kind of acceptance he thought he needed from a male figure in his life. If I just had that, everything would be okay. And that leads us to him meeting Laban. When we have right priorities in the arena of love in our life, in the arena of later relationships in our life, it makes all the difference. Jacob in this story tries to solve it with some different things, and none of them really satisfy him. But it's like that with any relationship that we chase. The acceptance, the love, the relationship that we try to chase. When our priorities aren't right, will always leave us wondering why we don't feel like we think we should. So when relationships are our answer, there are some things that pop up, and we see this in the Jacob and Leah and Rachel story. We're going to start reading in chapter 29 and verse 13, because what I've told you is before that, and we might bump back a few verses from that from time to time, but we're going to start reading through this. But when relationships, and we're going to kind of go down through the rest of this story, so we're going to kind of study verse by verse a little bit today. When you think relationships or acceptance or whatever it is you're trying to get is the answer, the first thing that happens is you compromise. You always compromise. When you look at something in life and say, I wish I had that, or I wish I felt like this, or I wish this person liked me, you will always compromise. Jacob's past had led him to think that all he needed was a relationship with somebody. He might have wanted a dad-type relationship that he didn't have. He might have wanted a brother-type relationship he didn't have. In this particular story, it's a dad relationship and it's a marriage that he got himself into that he thought would solve all of his problems. Look in verse 13. It says, when Laban heard the news about his sister's son, Jacob, he ran to meet him, he hugged him, and he kissed him. Then he took him to his house, and Jacob told him all that had happened. Laban said to him, yes, you are my own flesh and blood. And after Jacob had stayed with him a month, and Laban said to him, just because you're my relative, should you work for me for nothing? Tell me what your wages should be. He shows up. He sees Laban. Laban sees him. They're glad to see each other. He said, this is a safe place. This is a safe place. You're my sister's son. Remember, he had the relationship with his mom better, right? So Jacob already felt more comfortable being that side of the family. He told the big story, my dad doesn't love me, and we tricked him, and now my brother ran me off, and we don't know what all he told about the story, but Laban hears it and goes, oh, don't worry about it, you stay with us. You can work for me. You can live in my house. And then after a month, he says, hey, you ought not do this and not get paid for it. What do you want? What do you want? And Jacob, seeing this man who's offering relationship, offering a home, offering things maybe he didn't feel like he had with his own dad, Jacob sees this, and Jacob just gives himself to his uncle. Look what he says in verse 16. Laban had two daughters. The older was named Leah, and the younger was named Rachel. Leah had tender eyes. Now, your translation might say something totally different. They really don't know in the ancient text what that word actually means. It could mean that she had like sleepy type eyes or there was something wrong with her eyes even, and I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying that she was not the beautiful one of the two. And if tender eyes may have meant that she did have really pretty eyes, bright, charming eyes, but that's all she had going for her, okay? That's it. But Rachel was shapely and beautiful. We don't have to go into that, right? Guys, we understand? Jacob loved Rachel. So he answered Laban. I tell you what I want, Laban. Here's what I want. I'll work for you for 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Here he is, and he's been living with him for a month. Laban comes up and says, hey, you don't need to just live here and not get paid. I want to pay you. What do you want? And instead of saying, you know what, I need money because I really love Rachel and I would like to have her hand in marriage one day. So I really want to work and here's the money I want because one day I'm going to ask for her hand and I would like to marry her. Or I'd like to get to know her better, so I'm going to stick around, I'm going to work for whatever. Or I need a place to stay one day, I'm going to need a place to stay. Or I'm going to need a little bit of farmland to get my own farm started. He didn't ask for any of that stuff. He said, I'll work 7 years. You have Leah, the older daughter, with tender eyes, whatever that means. And you have Rachel, the younger daughter, who it said was shapely and beautiful. The older one... Leah might have looked like this. Y'all check this picture out. Carol's going to put up. Let's just give you an idea of what maybe Leah would have looked like. Nope. That's not Leah. That's Leah. Leah, she don't even have tender eyes, so maybe that's wrong. But that's the idea of what Leah would have maybe looked like to Jacob. And then Rachel was the next one. This is probably what Rachel would have looked like. You think that it didn't work? Just trust me, that does not work. But you've got Leah and you've got Rachel, and instead of saying, "Hey, listen, I love Rachel. I want to work. I want to do what I can do." And he was the best choice for Rachel. Verse 14. Remember, Laban said, "You're my own flesh and blood." In verse 19, Laban even says, better I give her to you than somebody else. So stay with me. So he's fine with it, but Jacob literally says, he compromises and he says, instead of a place to live, instead of money to be able to provide what I want, instead of any of this other stuff, I'm just going to give myself. In other words, working 7 years was equivalent to 4 times more than what would have been required for him to ask for a daughter's hand in marriage. 4 times more. So Jacob's compromising because he never had this relationship. He never had a dad that loved him, he felt like. He didn't have a good, close relationship. He thinks this woman is going to solve all of his problems. So he gives himself. He literally says, I'll do anything to get a relationship with Rachel. I'll do anything. I'll do anything to be a part of that friend group. You ever said that? I'll do anything to get that job. I'll do anything to get that person to notice me. When a relationship, whether it's a job relationship or a friend relationship or a romantic relationship, when a relationship is your main goal, you will compromise. Jacob did it. We do it. Marriages end quickly because of compromise. And here's how that happens. You're physically attracted. You want that relationship. You have fun with each other. And then you get married. And then that wears off at some point. It does. That kind of stuff wears off. You start to notice that they snore at night that you didn't notice before. You start to notice that they say words that get on your nerves that you didn't notice before. They don't drive as good as you remember them driving. Right? Your in-laws are not as cute as they used to be. It just happens. It happens. And when we build our desires and our wants on a relationship, we will always compromise to get that relationship. We even say things like this. If I marry this person, maybe they'll change. Compromise, isn't it? If I act the way that she wants me to act while we're dating, maybe I can nab her for marriage. That's just compromise. When a job's the main goal, you compromise. When a friendship's the main goal, you compromise. When things don't go your way, you compromise. But you don't just compromise. The second thing that we do, we see it in Jacob's story, when the relationship is the answer for us, some kind of relationship, we also become demanding, don't we? Look in chapter 29, verses 20 and 21. So Jacob worked 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Oh, isn't that sweet? Then Jacob said to Laban, Since my time is complete. Listen, this is the first thing he said when 7 years were up. Don't you think he had a calendar? He had one of them little Norman Rockwell calendars hanging in his room, and he was marking days every time. Norman wasn't around back then. He was. The Norman Rockwell calendar was up. He was marking days down. And in the day that year seven was complete, he says, since my time is complete, give me my wife so I can sleep with her. Now, you didn't tell your father-in-law that, did you guys? I didn't tell my father-in-law that. Did not happen. I was not going to be that demanding, but when we get into the realm of relationships, and when we compromise in those relationships, then we think everything revolves around us, whether it's a job, whether it's a friendship, whether it's a marriage, and we become demanding. He worked 7 years and now says, give her to me. Think how shallow that is. 7 years, and he doesn't say, you know what, Laban, I've really come to love Rachel. And I love her smile, and I love that she's compassionate. I love that she loves God. I love that she can she knows her way around the house, and she knows her way around outside, and we get along so well. He didn't say any of that. He didn't say we really click. He didn't say she had a good personality. He didn't talk about how sweet she was. He said, I did what I was supposed to do. Now give me my wife so she can do what she's supposed to do. He was demanding. And our relationships, when they're not built on love, will come to this point more than we like to mention. We get demanding. We say things in our everyday relationships like this. You never blank. Or I always blank. Or, I do this for you, so you do this for me. Or, you aren't ever blank. We do that in every relationship. That's not just marriage stuff. That's everyday stuff. Your friendships, your jobs, your acquaintances. You become demanding. In marriage, it sounds like this. Where's my dinner? Why isn't the floor clean? Why didn't my clothes get washed? Why don't you get off the couch and fix the dishwasher? That's what it sounds like in marriage. And it's not very funny because we know that's true. We get demanding. When in fact, love serves others. Love doesn't look to be served, does it? So when we get into a relationship for the reason just of relationship, and there might be a worldly form of love that gets us there that is really lust. When we enter into a lustful relationship instead of a loving, God-centered relationship, and we keep it a lustful relationship, and we want all those desires, we demand all that to happen, that's not what godly relationships are built on. Love serves others. Love doesn't serve to get what we want, but love serves to build others up. You might say, well, Jacob worked 7 years. Yeah, and then he got demanding. He was serving himself. He wasn't counting down days because he loved Rachel. He was counting down days because he wanted something. He wanted it. Love and relationships are our answer, not just love. We compromise more than we should. We become demanding. And the third thing we see in this is that we always end up dissatisfied. When relationships are the answer, when we're into something just for the benefit of us, we'll always end up dissatisfied. Look at verse 23. He had just said, give me my wife. And it says, that evening Laban took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob. You realize he asked for Rachel and he worked 7 years, he thought for Rachel, right? But it says, Laban took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, the one with tender eyes. We don't know what that means. And he slept with her. And Laban gave his slave Zilpah to his daughter Leah as her slave. When morning came, there was Leah. Whew, wouldn't that be a shock? So he said to Laban, what is this that you've done to me? Wasn't it for Rachel that I worked? And yet you've deceived me. When we go into the relationships with ideas of what we can get out of it, we're never going to be satisfied with the results. We're going to think someone else can meet our needs, or something else can meet our needs. Some other relationship can meet your needs. And when we think like that, we're going to think we're working for Rachel. We're going to end up in the morning with Leah. That's what happens. That's what happens every time. You become somebody else, and you're like, I got to be a part of this friend group because it's gonna push my career ahead, or it's gonna make me look better in the community, or whatever it does. And that friend group starts out looking like Rachel, and after a little while, ends up being Leah, doesn't it? You wake up and Leah's laying there. Or you get into a marriage relationship. And this is 100% serious, guys. We get into it for what we want out of it. And I want a relationship, and I want a wife, or I want a husband, and I'm going to do this. And now we're together, and I'm going to get what I want. And it starts out lovey-dovey, and it starts out good. And they say the first 7 years of marriage are the hardest, because within that first 7 years, that's when you realize they snore and they can't drive. And your in-laws are not as nice as they used to be. And she can't really cook. And he can't really fix things. That's when you realize that stuff. And so the lovey-doveyness is gone. They don't like the same movies as you liked. Oh, they did when you were dating, but it's because that's what they did. But they don't like those movies anymore. You like romantic comedies, and he likes watching documentaries, and you don't like that. But that's how that happens. You're always going to end up dissatisfied if that was what you wanted. And that's what Jacob wanted. He thought he wanted Rachel, and he ended up with Leah. Now, friendship wasn't what you thought it was. It didn't give you the benefits you thought it would. That person didn't meet the needs you thought they were going to meet. And when we go into relationships with deception inside of us, when we go into relationships of any kind with deception in our past, sometimes it's going to catch up. Think about it. Jacob took the birthright from Esau, his brother. And then he comes and meets his uncle. Laban used Jacob for 14 years of free labor. Because you know what the rest of the story is? Jacob went back and said, hey, I'm supposed to have Rachel. And Laban said, oh, it's just not right to give the younger daughter first. You get to have the older daughter. But if you'll work 7 more years, then I'll give you Rachel. And you know what Jacob did? He worked 7 more years. 14 years of free labor just for one old girl. You might say, well, that's romantic that he would do that. No, it's crazy. It's crazy that he would do that. Nothing romantic about it. He had a desire in his life that wasn't godly. And you know why it wasn't godly? You know how I know that? This story's messed up. Because you never see Jacob stopping and going, you know what, I better pray about this. You know what, I better seek God's will about this. And Laban says, hey, listen, you name the price. What do you got to have? You shouldn't just work here and live here for nothing. You ought to get paid something. What can I do for you? And he didn't go, you know what, let me seek God on this. Let me see what God would want me to do. No, he says, I want Rachel. I worked 7 years and give me Rachel. And then after that, he said, yeah, I'll work 7 more years for Rachel. He didn't pray about it. He didn't say, you know what, God, maybe it is Leah you want me to be with. Maybe it's not my will, but it's your will that needs to be done. Maybe that's who I need to be with. This worldly lust was leading Jacob, and it was never going to completely satisfy him. Look in verse 31 at what happens next. It's not just Jacob that's messed up in this. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, Jacob did not love her, and he made it known he did not love her. He opened her womb, but Rachel was unable to conceive. Leah conceived, gave birth to a son, and named him Reuben. And if that name pops up in your head, that was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Father of all Israel, Jacob, started with a woman that he didn't love. God used that to teach him, hopefully. Named him Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has seen my affliction. Surely my husband will now love me." Leah said, "Maybe if I can give him a son, maybe he'll love me." And you know what she did? She did that three more times. Got pregnant, gave him a son. And it says, maybe he'll love me now. Got pregnant, gave him a son. Maybe he'll love me now. We say, maybe if I make enough money, maybe I can fit in with this crowd. Or maybe if I act this way, this person will be my friend. Or if I'm my boss's yes man, maybe that'll promote me. It doesn't have to be marriage. Lust happens in all kinds of ways. Lust of money because of a job. Lust of what the Joneses are doing or whatever. It's always something. But you'll always end up short of being satisfied. No prayer, no God, no faith, no trust in God to provide for Jacob. That's the moral of this story. That worldly lust that he had no godliness in it. That's why he didn't love Leah. That's why he worked 14 years for some woman that he could have just given a fourth of that time in equivalent money to, or an eighth of it really, because he worked for two different women. He could have asked for her hand. But that lust and that ungodliness was so overpowering to him. He thought he was going to fix his daddy issues and his brother issues and his relationship issues. But here's the thing, Jesus has to be one and everything else has to be two. In our relationships, in our jobs, in our families, in our friendships, Jesus has got to be one and everything else has to be two. He's the relationship that you search for. He's the one you serve. Not to be served by him, but he's the one that you serve. It means that we live the way Jesus lived. That means we love the way Jesus loved. Jacob worked seven more years for Rachel. And he didn't love Leah, but he loved Rachel, verse 30 said. So God made Rachel unable to have children before Leah. So it was Leah who actually had the first four sons that would comprise Israel. The first four men of Israel were born to Leah. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And then look what it said. This is the important part. Leah now is searching for the same acceptance that Jacob is. Leah's now searching for being loved and being accepted, and she thinks that producing children will be able to do that. But verse 35 is an interesting verse. And she conceived again, here's the fourth one, and gave birth to a son and said, not, maybe now my husband will love me. Look what she said. This time I will praise the Lord. She named him Judah, and then Leah stopped having children. This time I'll praise the Lord. Leah finally got it is what the story is. Jacob maybe have got it later, but Leah finally got it. This time I'm going to praise the Lord. Now I'm going to put things in the right place. Now I'm going to trust God instead of trusting Jacob. I'm not going to put my hope in a relationship or a marriage or being able to produce children or whatever that might be for her. I'm going to put my hope in God. Is that where you're at today? Listen, it could be in a marriage relationship. Could be in a marriage relationship where you have kind of messed it up and you've kind of demanded your own way and you kind of compromised a little bit to get to where you are. You realize you're not satisfied, but I can fix it. I can't fix it. I can tell you the fix for it. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. The fix for it is Jesus. Every single time, the fix for it is Jesus. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that sometimes both sides don't want Jesus. And if you're the one searching after Jesus in a marriage relationship and there's another that's not, I'm not naive enough to think that sometimes those marriages don't end up broken. I know that happens. I know it happens. But I promise you, both of you will search after Jesus. if both of you will put him number one, not you, but put him number one, and put everything else second, I can promise you a marriage will change. I promise you a friendship will be different. I promise you your job relationships will be different. If even only you will put Jesus first. Don't be a Jacob who lustfully compromises to get something he thinks he needs in life and tries to handle it on his own and not bring God anywhere into the equation. And then after he compromises, then he gets demanding, and then he realizes after he's been demanding, he's never going to be satisfied because now he's stuck with something that he didn't necessarily want. Don't be Jacob. Follow Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your relationships to Jesus. Give the way you love to Jesus. Not a worldly, lustful kind of love. Give it to Jesus. Make it a godly love. Listen, you can't do that if you don't know Jesus yourself. If you don't know Jesus in your own life today, you need to know him. You need to know that Jesus loved first, and he loved, because he loved, we know how to love. We don't have the capacity of love without the love Jesus has for us. He came, he lived a life, he died on a cross, perfectly died on a cross for you and me, and he rose from the grave to defeat sin and death. And if we'll put our trust in him today, and if we'll have faith that he'll come in and forgive us and save us, he'll do that. He'll give you a brand new life. He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a home in heaven for all eternity. But that's your decision to make today. Yeah, you can still lustfully chase after whatever you want, but it ain't going to be with Jesus. It ain't going to be because he's leading you. So how are you going to do that today? How are you going to give your life back to Jesus today? Maybe you are saved. Maybe you just need to come down and pray something out. That's fine. Maybe you just need to get things straight. You're just a little off the path. That's okay. Maybe you're way off and you need to say, man, I just need to get back. I've got to get back to him, whatever it takes. Or maybe you realize you don't know Jesus today and you need to know him for the first time. If you need to know what it means to be saved, you come down here. I'll show you in the Bible exactly what it means when we stand up and sing. I'll show you what it means to be saved right here in Scripture. If you just need to come down and pray something out, you can come down and do that during that time too. Be wide open for that. But I'm going to pray for us. The band's going to come up and lead us in our closing song. Y'all sing along. Y'all pray during that time if you need to. But man, don't leave this place without getting straight with Jesus. It's not worth living these lustful, relationship-driven lives apart from Jesus anymore. Don't be Jacob. Don't be Jacob. Father, we love you. Thank you for today. I thank you for forgiveness that you offer. Even in our bonehead moments, Jesus, you don't reward those moments, but you still use them. You'll still use them for your glory. You'll use them to bring us back closer to you. So Jesus, my prayer is that you would do that today. I don't know what each of us have been going through. I don't know what each of us have on our mind or in our hearts. But Jesus, you do. You know where you need to convict us at. You know where you need to change us at. So Lord, show us those things in these next few moments. Lord, help us not to be somebody who searches out for things that are not you. Whether it seems good, seems like maybe it's what we're supposed to have, but it's not you, Jesus, it's not going to be good enough. So help us to search after you, Jesus. Help us to turn our lives over to you. Completely, every single day we have to do it. Turn our lives over to you. And Lord, if somebody here today has never done that for the first time, they've never trusted you as their Savior, as the one who can forgive them and give them a new heart and a brand new life. Jesus, I pray that they would do that today. Lord, be with us as we sing. We ask all this in your name. Amen.